The Michael Hart Show on 101.1 FM, The Source.
Hey, welcome back. We're having a conversation with Daniel Patowski. He is the author of Universal Coverage. Daniel, some years ago here in the state of Alabama, we had a governor, a man running for governor by the name of Don Siegelman. And Mr. Siegelman ran on a platform of sponsoring and getting passed a state lottery. And it was an education lottery. And after a lot of wrangling and wringing of wrists and whatnot, the measure did not pass. And Governor Siegelman, who ended up doing time in prison, actually, was voted out of office during the next election because it was felt like that he was a one-issue governor. In the case of Barack Obama, he has a lot of things on his agenda, but the linchpin, the keel, if you will, was health care. So there seems to be a prevailing thought that this president has got to get something, anything passed, or he doesn't stand any chance of reelection. With that said, can you possibly venture a hypothesis, an educated guess, as to what some kind of health care reform law would look like once Pelosi and Reid do, in fact, get together?
Well, I think what they're going to do is expand the coverage. They'll call it something else, but they'll expand it under a Medicaid, Medicare type of system. I'm speculating on this. I want to make that clear.
Sure.
So because that is palatable, they can say, well, you know, we're only going to help the neediest of people. We're going to pay for it through a tax on the wealthy. It's not going to be a government-run system. It's not going to be single-payer. Nothing's going to change for all you people that have health care. I think that's what they can probably get away with. And then they'll be able to declare victory, and on the march goes. And then, again, the devil will be in the details, and that's when they'll really start tweaking it, just like the EPA decides, well, now CO2 is a pollution, so we're going to do this. Control emissions from power plants, so on and so on and so on. So I think as long as they get, quote, that through, a little bit of an expansion, they get the structure in place that the government can determine what is a valid policy and what the insurance companies have to do, form a new regulatory agency under this, then they'll have their victory because they'll be able to stick their hands into the honey jar. And that's what they need to do. Get their hands in there, get their hands on the purse strings, start telling the hospitals, the doctors, the insurance companies what to do. And from there, they can massage it any way they want. That's what they're going to talk about behind closed doors.
Much of the talk has been that whatever legislation the president might sign, although the tax clock will start running almost immediately, the actual policies will not be implemented till the year, I think the beginning of the year 2013, all the way up to 2015 and 16. What's the stall? What's the reason for that? If healthcare is that pressing an issue, why is it going to take so long to implement? Or is it just a matter of establishing the bureaucracy, or is there something more that we're not understanding?
Well, again, a bit of speculation here, but if you look at other historical cases, they have the prescription drug plan that was passed under President Bush. They didn't have the money for it. And that's a big rallying cry that the liberal opposition uses now. Well, you didn't fund this. You didn't fund this. So what they're trying to do is overcome that barrier, number one, and say, look, we funded it. We're going to cut fraud. We're going to raise taxes on the rich people and the Cadillac insurance plans. But we're not going to hand out those benefits until we have this money in place. And then they don't want anything to change too drastically leading into another election cycle because, well, if this would go wrong or there'd be hiccups in the system, they would look bad too close to the public memory. Okay. And that's again, speculation. And only opinion.
That's very good speculation, if the truth be told, Daniel. I mean, it's very, very thoughtful. We hear and we've heard so much from people like Sarah Palin relating to the death panels and things like that. I know that they're always the liberals are couching it a little bit differently. How do you feel? And I'm not talking about necessarily a medical advisory panel that decides medical protocol. What I'm asking you is, based upon your research, how likely do you think it is that someone who is, let's just say, 59, 60, 65, whatever years old, how likely do you think it is that they would actually be denied coverage or receive diminished coverage versus what we're seeing today? Would that be a very viable concern for people of that age group?
It's a huge concern, and this is this is a subject we don't have to speculate on. We can look at Canada, we can look at England, we can look at other countries, and we can see exactly what has happened. Depending on your condition, your age, you know, different things of that nature. In fact, just last week I was talking to some people from Canada, and one of their family members had a heart issue and needed surgery, relatively, not an emergency surgery, but let's say in the next month or so. And they admitted that they had to pull strings to get a place, a slot in the operating theater so that they could get heart surgery. Okay, so we don't have to speculate on this one. There's going to be panels, there's going to be advisory groups, because there's never any single person. If you look at every socialist system in the world, it's always a panel, it's always a board. It's never, well, the president of the company said X, Y, Z. No, it's the board decided that this is the best recommendation. And I think that if I was, and I'm 41 now, and I know for a fact that I'm probably going to need open heart surgery 20 years from now, I'm already thinking about that issue. I'm already investigating other places to go, because if this system goes in, I need to have a place lined up where I can go. Yes, it's 20 years from now, and hopefully I won't need it. But at the same time, we all know, you know, how life goes. And I think that those, that people in that age bracket have a tremendous amount to worry about, and people that are a little bit older have even more to worry about, because our life expectancy has really stretched, okay? My grandparents, most of them were dead in their 50s, early 60s. Now, that's young. My father's 69 years old. He's doing great, thanks to modern medicine in a lot of ways. So as you get a little older, they're going to say, you know, Michael, you really don't need that hip replacement. We're going to give you a cane, and we're going to give you some Tylenol 3, and you'll be just fine, because we don't have enough doctors. We don't have enough hospitals, because, you know, the board just didn't manage the resources properly. And that's where you're going to be stuck.
Kind of taking a little bit of a different tactic on the, just taking the political side of it here, is there a reason why they are in such a rush to get this thing done? Is it just based on the power situation here that they're trying to get this thing rushed through instead of actually sitting down and trying to work out a system that actually seems to work a little better?
Yeah, I think they know they have the votes right now, and as you pointed out, you have umpteen congressmen ready to resign, so they'll push it through, because if the power structure changes next November, they might not be able to get it done. And the other thing I think that they're concerned about is the credibility. Barack Obama became president under a lot of personal goodwill, let's call it. And that is eroding rapidly now. You look at the polling results. You talk, like I said, to people at the diners, at the truck stops, regular people. They're not in love with this guy anymore, whether they voted for him or not. They're not comfortable, okay? And they see that. These people are professional pollsters. They have to push this through. And the other thing is speed, as you know from your own training programs with people, speed is a negotiating tactic. Whenever someone says, hurry up, you have to buy now because tomorrow the price is going to change, hey, be careful. Somebody's selling you a bill of goods. Hurry, hurry, hurry means who knows what's behind curtain number 3.
Right.
And, you know, that's another thing that has me worried. If these benefits aren't going to kick in for 5 years, we have plenty of time to work out the details. Let's sit back and think about it.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second, because I'm getting close to another break, and I'm going to have to move on here in a second anyway, Daniel. But a lot of my callers over the past several months have asked the question, and I haven't had a good answer for them, and maybe you can clarify it a bit. Let's just say that something passes. We know something's going to pass. So we get universal whatever, you know, we get the public option, which was probably not going to happen, but something passes. Is whatever passes, I guess I'm making this word up, repealable? At least as you understand it. And if you need to speculate, because I don't have a clue.
Well, I'll speculate that it is repealable. And if there is a groundswell of support, if you continue to march on Washington the way that it happened last year, or earlier this year, rather, if you continue to beat that drum in a dramatic way, and by that I mean a million people show up in Washington, if 5,000 people show up at a congressman's office and shut it down, remember the tactics that they used against, you know, conservative things. They'll get there, they shut down church services, they do all kind of interrupting activities. If those things begin to happen, this bill will absolutely be repealed, because as you said earlier, if you vote every one of these people out of office, every single one, universal coverage will not come true. It'll just be a novel on the shelf that people can read someday and say, wow, we dodged that bullet. And that's what we got to do. We got to be motivated and get out there in the street more.
And I hope you're absolutely correct. Daniel, I appreciate it so much. The name of the book is Universal Coverage. Where can we find a copy of it?
Universal Coverage is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and if they don't